The simple act of prayer is a deliberate choice to handle the situation with faith. It's kind of like this lighthouse in the stormy sea. Do you know what the focus of the purpose of a lighthouse is? Is to help the boats to find their way home or back into safety. Sometimes when we worry rather than prayer, it is like the lighthouse is there, but the light, we don't see the light. But prayer is God's channel that he gives to us to show us the way home, to give us that peace that passes all understanding, to bring us back into safety. This promise of peace helps us to focus on his work in our lives and our purpose for serving him. It is our safe harbor that keeps us from worry, because we are fixing our eyes on the one who can calm down our storms. Josh McDowell is a famous apologetic. He said this, "Knowing that God is faithful, it helps me to not be captivated by worry. By knowing that he will do what he has said, he will cause it to happen, whatever he has promised, and then it causes me to be less worried about the situation." And then Elizabeth Elliot says this, "Because God is my sovereign Lord, I am not worried. He manages perfectly, day and night, year in and year out. The movements of the stars, the wheelings of the planets, the staggering coordination of events that goes on a molecular level in order to hold things together. There is no doubt that he can manage the timing of my days and my weeks." And what else does this scripture tell us about peace? It tells us in verse 7 that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It will protect us from the enemy. The word guard over in Greek is actually a military term that describes a detachment of soldiers that guard over a city and protect it from attack. And that's what happens when we have the peace of God in us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Peace really stills our mind. It points us towards God and giving God our every need. Let me tell you another story. This is a story about an artist who was commissioned by a wealthy man to paint something that would depict peace. And after a great deal of thought, the artist painted a beautiful country scene. There were green fields with cows standing in them, birds were flying in the sky, and there was a lovely little village that lay in a distant valley. And the artist gave the picture to the man, but there was a look of disappointment on his face. The man said to the artist, he said, "This isn't a picture of true peace. It isn't right. Go back and do it again." So the artist went back to his studio, thought for several hours about peace, and then went to the canvas and began to paint again. And when he was finished, then there was on this canvas, there was a picture of a mother holding her sleeping baby in her arms and smiling lovingly at that child. He thought, "This time I've got it. This is the perfect picture of peace." And he hurried to give a picture to the wealthy man. But how did the wealthy man respond? Once again, he refused the painting. He said, "This is not a true picture of true peace." So the artist went back, and he was so discouraged. He went back to his studio, tired and disappointed. Anger swelled inside him, and he felt the rejection of this wealthy man. Again, he thought about it, and he even prayed about it, for the inspiration to paint a picture of true peace. Then all of a sudden, an idea came to him. He rushed to the canvas and began to paint as he had never painted before. When he finished, he hurried to the wealthy man. He said, "This time I've got it. What do you think?" The wealthy man studied the picture. The artist held his breath. "Oh, I hope I don't get rejected again." That's what he was thinking in his head. And then the wealthy man smiled. He said, You got it. This is the true picture of peace. And he accepted the painting, and he paid the artist, and everyone was happy. So what was this picture? What was this picture that was the picture of true peace? This picture showed a stormy sea pounding against a cliff. The artist had captured the fury of the wind as it whipped black rain clouds, which were laced with streaks of lightning. The sea was roaring in turmoil, waves were churning, and the dark sky filled with the power of the furious thunderstorm. And in the middle of the picture, under a cliff, what was there? There was a small bird, and he was safe and dry in her nest, nestled safely in the rocks. The bird was at peace in the midst of the storm that raged around her. And that is the peace of God that he gives to us as well as his followers. This peace is able to help us to rest serenely in the midst of the storm. When the storm rages, but our hearts are still at rest, we experience the peace of God. And it's a peace that transcends all human understanding. And finally, Jesus did not just come to give us peace with ourselves and peace with God, but he also came to give us peace on earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." When we choose to be a peacemaker, we will reflect the image and the character of God. There's an old Christmas hymn that says this, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Where does peace on earth begin? It begins with you and myself. Brothers and sisters, if we want peace on this earth, we need to start by cultivating peace in our important relationships, in our families, amongst our friends, and in our churches. There will never be peace on this earth if there's no peace in our nations, in our communities, in our families, and within ourselves. But why do we struggle so much to be at peace with one another? In James chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, it explains our human condition and the reason why we fight rather than be at peace. James says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desire, the battle within you? You want something and don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." And here are four reasons why sometimes we do not have peace with each other. First of all, we're naturally self-centered people. Second of all, we don't want to compromise. We want our own way. The third thing is that we expect others to meet our needs that only God can fill. And the fourth thing is we make demands on others rather than looking to God for help. Peace comes when we decide we're going to give up our right to be right. Peace is more important to us than being right. If we're always striving to be right, then we will never have peace. When Jesus came to this earth and when he died on the cross, he also came to bring reconciliation amongst the Jews and the Gentiles. Through his blood, these two groups were reconciled with one another and became one body. And this peace that God gives to us is also a peace that will impact other things. It will impact our different races, how we interact with them, ethnicities, and nations. And Paul teaches us over and over again that we need to make an effort to do what leads to peace, and that we should try our best to live at peace with everyone. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 4, it tells us that we should be humble and gentle. We should be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together in peace. When we are humble and gentle, we don't think too highly of ourselves. When we make allowances for each other's faults, then we show grace. When we choose unity over division, then we also choose peace. These characteristics are also important for us to cultivate within our families. Sometimes it's the most difficult place for us to be a peacemaker is at home, because our true nature comes out. And let me ask you a question to those parents who are here. How many parents that are here have ever said, "I'm sorry" to their child because they've done something wrong? All right, good. For those of you who have, sometimes in our Chinese culture, saying sorry is not something that is easy for parents to do, because it requires humility. But if there are some parents here who maybe have not said that they're sorry when they know they've done something wrong, perhaps they didn't pick up their child on time, or they had a misunderstanding with their child, I want to encourage you to make peace starting today by learning how to say, "I'm sorry," even if it's difficult. And what about the children here, or the youth of this congregation? How many of you have said that you're sorry to your parents? Put your hand up. All right, good. So, also, it requires the children to learn to say sorry too, because in the family, everybody needs to work towards peace. So if for some reason, maybe you in your youth have been the one that has been causing the disruption or the conflict, and you know that there's disharmony in your home because of you, then maybe God needs to speak to you about that. And perhaps today is a good day to tell your parents that you are sorry for all the grief that you have caused them. When we forgive, it doesn't mean that we're going to turn into doormats. It doesn't mean that we're going to pretend that everything is okay. But it means that we choose peace. We choose to restore the relationships that we have in our lives. Forgiveness does not always lead to reconciliation, but in some cases it does. Peace takes effort. If we are to be a peacemaker, we need to work on restoring our relationships. Romans 12:18 tells us, "Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as it is possible." So the question I have to ask for you is, are you doing your part? Are you doing your part to make peace in your home? So this Christmas season, I want to challenge you with something. See this box here? It's just an empty box. But this box can actually have a lot of significance. And you can think about, rather than giving a gift that you have to buy, consider giving the gift of peace. So what you can do is you can just take a gift box like this, and then inside, you can put the word peace inside. And in the box, you can write down a few things of how you would like to start to make peace with those in your home. Perhaps it's with your father or your mother, perhaps it's with your sibling, or perhaps it's with a friend. This gift can go to anyone. This is a symbolic gesture to show that you want to make peace with someone in your life. And inside, you can write down some promises of what you like to do to try to make peace with that individual. So here are some examples. One, I will promise not to lash out in anger when I am upset, and calm down before I talk to you. I promise that I will say I'm sorry and mean it when I am wrong. I promise to not intentionally push your buttons when I am angry. Or I promise to forgive you when you have done something wrong. This is just a gesture, as I said. You can also do it in your heart. Perhaps this thing is not for you. You're not really the artistic type or the gift kind type. But this is just one way to show somebody that you desire to make peace with them this holiday season. Peace is the gift that we give to each other. Perhaps this is a gift that you need to give to an individual this Christmas season. Rather than fighting for a parking spot at the mall and trying to deal with all the crowds, maybe this gift would be more significant to someone you need to make peace with. Or perhaps we need to give this gift to ourselves, the gift of inner peace. Maybe for some of us, we've been worrying too much. We've been worrying too much about the future. We've been worrying about our lives, what school we're going to get into next year, worrying about our relationships, all these kind of things. And maybe we just need to give this gift to ourselves as a gift of inner peace and promise ourselves, I'm going to do my best not to worry this year. In 2013, I'm going to put all my worries in this box and I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to trust him more and I'm going to worry less. Perhaps that's what you need to do, is to give yourself that gift of inner peace. And the final gift that we could give is a gift to those who still don't know Jesus. This gift of peace is at peace with God. Will we have the boldness and the courage to share the good news with somebody who does not know God? To give them the peace that we have because we are in right relationship with God, and to share that gift with someone who does not know. If that is your desire, then I pray that you would have the courage and the boldness to be able to give that gift to someone who desperately needs to hear about God's peace for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, that you came to this earth, and you came to give us love and joy and peace. We thank you, Father, for what you've done on the cross and how you have, first of all, made peace with us, and we can have inner peace through giving our worries to you, and also we can have peace with each other. I just pray, Father, that during this Christmas season, we may ponder about this whole idea of peace. And Lord, if there are people in our lives that we need to make peace with, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make the first step. I pray that you would help us to know how we can forgive those who have hurt us, and we can restore our relationship with you, with them again. So Lord, give us that courage and that boldness to take these action steps for you, Lord, so that we can have peace on this earth. So thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers, and we pray that you continue to be with us as we worship you. In Jesus' name. Today I want to talk to you about peace. And I want you to ask, how many of you guys love to go Christmas shopping? Put your hands up. Any lovers of Christmas shopping? All right, I'm not a big fan, I must admit, okay? I don't like crowds, and I don't like trying to find a parking spot in the midst of the craziness of Christmas. As many of you know, I grew up in Waterloo, which is like a little small town, right? So not too many people. So when we go Christmas shopping in Kitchener-Waterloo, we don't have to beat the crowds. It's not like Yorkdale Mall, where we have to fight with each other to get a parking spot. And the worst is when somebody steals your parking spot, when you're right there, you're sitting right there, your ticker is on, and someone steals your parking spot. It's the most annoying thing of all. Has anybody experienced that yet this year? Okay, so you know how annoying it can be. So for me, I'm not a big fan of crowds either. I think I have something called crowdophobia, which is a word I just made up. Crowdophobia is basically the fear of crowds. For me, sometimes the busyness of Christmas and the craziness of shopping can take away my joy of Christmas and leaves me more anxious than at peace. And sometimes when we try to do Christmas perfectly, We find that we get sucked into this consumerist mentality. We have so many gifts to buy, so many cookies to make, we have to wrap our presents, and there's all sales everywhere trying to lure us into the stores. Sometimes it's not even enjoyable, the Christmas season. Lining up and trying to wait for your turn to pay for your gifts. But you know what? it doesn't end there either, because then comes the craziness of Boxing Day shopping. And then once again, the same thing. The stores are trying to lure us into the stores, and by the time the end of December comes, we're so far in debt, we wonder, what on earth happened? Is this worth it? So that's why I'm thankful for online shopping. Online shopping takes away some of the stress of having to go to the mall. I find that when you go online shopping, it gives you a sense of peace, because first of all, you are in control of when you want to shop. Second of all, you do not need to fight for a parking spot. And third of all, you can choose whether you want to buy that or not without pushy customer service people trying to lure you to buy those things. So online shopping is the way to go. Anybody with me? Yeah. All right. So once again, I ask you this question. How do we experience peace in the midst of this crazy consumerist mentality in this holiday season? We remember what Christmas is about, and we remember what Jesus came to bring. When God first created the world, he made the world so that we would live in peace with God in the Garden of Eden. But because Adam and Eve sinned against God, the peace was lost and destroyed. And once they were banished from the garden, we were no longer in right relationship with God anymore. And although the peace in the garden was destroyed between God and humans, the creator of peace still remained. And he had to come up with a different plan to establish peace on this earth. The only way that God could establish this relationship was to deal with the problem of sin. Peace did not come to this earth because Jesus was born in a manger, but Jesus' birth was a prerequisite for God's peacemaking efforts. It was because Jesus was crucified that we have peace with God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says that God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of his blood on the cross. Reconciliation, according to Rick Warren, is the restoration of peace between us and God. We were once alienated from God and enemies of God because of our sin. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we are now his friends and we are his children. Our relationship with God has been restored because of what Jesus has done. And now we have peace. But that's not where it starts. It's not just God's job to bring reconciliation to his people. But humans have a part to play to accept this gift of salvation. If we truly desire to accept peace with God, we need to enter into a relationship with him. We need to admit that we are sinners. We need to believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for us. And we need to confess our sins before him. And from receiving Christ in our life, that is where we will receive not only eternal life, but eternal peace. God's peace will fill our hearts. Iman, can I have you help me with this? Okay, Iman, I think you're going to have to help me turn it because the thing's not working. Hold on. All right, we're good. All right, have any of you seen this expression before? It's kind of a cool T-shirt. Sometimes you might find it on people wear this T-shirt. It says, "No Jesus, no peace." And then in blue letters, it says, "No Jesus, no peace." This is what the truth is about peace with God. If we know Jesus, then we will have peace with God. But if we do not know Jesus, then there's no peace in our lives. We need to make a decision to have this peace with God by accepting God's great gift of salvation. So not only does God make peace with us, but God also wants us to be at peace with ourselves and peace with others. The second kind of peace that I want to talk to you about is this peace of God, or this inner peace. Before Jesus left this earth, he said to his disciples in John 14, verse 27, He said, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This peace that Jesus was giving to his disciples was at a time when he was about to leave this earth. This peace would be manifested through the Holy Spirit, and it would be grown in us through the fruit of the Spirit. The peace of God is with us through our problems, through death, and even through the storms in our life. We are still able to experience that inner peace that comes from God. There are many different storms in our lives that we experience. Some of these storms are external storms. Some of these storms we cannot control, such as illness, death, finances, job loss, natural disaster, or tragedy. And there are internal storms that rage within us as well. They are anxiety, worry, guilt, fear, and self-doubt. Sometimes the internal storms can be even worse than the external storms. So how do we deal with these storms that invade our lives, that try to take over our lives, and sometimes try to overcome us? Let's turn to our passage today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 is the go-to verse for experiencing storms. Paul says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will again rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God in prayer." Here Paul is commanding the Philippians to not worry. When Paul wrote this letter, he was actually in jail. Paul's primary reason to write this letter was to thank the Philippians for the gift that he had sent them, that they had sent them upon learning about his detention in Rome. And he took this opportunity also to teach them many other lessons as well, teach them how to be content in all circumstances, how to rejoice in the Lord always, how to stand firm in their faith. Paul was a worthy candidate to talk about inner peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that this peace of God is given to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have access to this kind of peace. They are the ones who benefit from this peace. But sometimes, if you are like you and me, sometimes we allow things to rob us of our peace. There are things in our lives that are kind of like what I call peace robbers that try to steal away our peace. Take a look at the list here. Worry, fear, uncertainty about the future, uncontrollable situations, unanswered prayer, tragedy or sickness, lack of trust in God and His will for us. Usually, we allow these things to overcome us rather than allowing the peace to fill our hearts. And in response to that anxiety, to that worry, we tend to respond in three different ways. Either we try to control everything. Second of all, we have a fatalistic attitude. Oh, well, things are never going to get better, so I might as well just give in. Or we have the choice to choose true peace of mind by responding in faith and asking God to give them the peace in the midst of the chaos. One of the greatest factors that steals away our peace is worry. Anybody like to worry? Or anybody has that tendency to worry? All right, you don't have to admit it if you're too ashamed. That's okay. There was once a mom who was worried about her daughter. Her daughter was coming home from school in the midst of a big thunderstorm. And although she had got her daughter all dressed up in her rain gear and in her rain boots, she was still worried about the lightning that might hit her daughter. So what does she decide to do? As a mom, she decided to get in her car and drive halfway to meet her daughter. But she was very surprised by what she saw. Her daughter saw her driving up and ran up to her and gave her a big hug. And you know what she said? She said, "Mom, guess what? God smiled at me 3 times in the sky. There were lightning bolts coming out, and he was saying hello. It was awesome." And that comment made the mom reflect, made her wonder, "Oh, did I miss something because of my worry? Did I miss something because I worried too much?" And in the end, she drew this conclusion that she had missed the hand of God in creation and the peace that was in the midst of the storm that was manifested in this little girl. Does our worry sometimes do that to us as well? Do we sometimes forget God's blessings because we're worrying so much? Do we forget the good things that God has given to us because we're so stressed about dealing with today? Paul, in this verse, tells us how to deal with our anxiety. He tells us that we should bring everything to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and we should present those requests to him. Max Lucado, who is a famous Christian author, said that it's very difficult to worry and to pray at the same time. Try it one day and see if it's true. Prayer has a way of lessening our worries or even dispelling them because we give them to him to take care of. Constant prayer about our worries is a way for to overcome them and to trust God and trust in the providence of God. How come we see God as a last resort when we worry or when it comes to dealing with our problems? It is because we see that worry and anxiety is a default reaction to the troubles that we experience in life. Rather than asking God for peace in those tough times, we sometimes allow Satan to turn our attention to negative things, to negative and destructive thoughts that lead us to negative actions and consequences. Jesus taught us a lot about worrying in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, he told them that why are you worrying about what you eat or what you drink or what you wear? Don't you believe that I am a God that can take care of you? That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, if I'm able to provide for the birds in the air and the flowers in the field, then don't you believe I will provide for you as my children? And at the end of this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." Corrie ten Boom once said this about worry. She said, "Worry is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." When we are anxious and when we are worried, we have a choice. Our choice is either to